Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be teaching and preaching the sixth part in our seven-part series that we have titled The Importance of Sound Doctrine. Today there is a greater need for teaching and preaching on sound biblical doctrine than there has ever been in the history of the New Testament church. We are witnessing a massive falling away in what was once no compromise fundamental Bible-believing churches in America. Today, the byword in at least 90% of American churches is compromise, because doctrinal compromise is spiritual cyanide. At least 90% of our churches are graveyard dead, and souls are not being won because our churches have no power. God the Holy Ghost has forsaken them, and Ichabod has been written above their doors. In this particular series, our theme verses have been 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And those verses read as follows. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Now, let's get into what our subject is going to be for today. Today, we will start lesson on the command to separate both individually and as a church from false doctrine and false prophets. False doctrine is a very, very serious matter to God. The Holy Ghost said this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, God calls false doctrine damnable heresies. There is so much wickedness going on in the churches now that the church is almost universally viewed by the unsaved as a den of iniquity. Generally speaking, there is no difference in what goes on in the churches and what goes on in secular society in general. That has been the situation for a long time now. Adultery, fornication, child abuse, child molestation, cults, and financial rip-offs by evil charlatans claiming to be men of God has led to the church and the way of the truth being evil spoken of by the unsaved. When independent Baptist leaders and congregations will tolerate adultery, fornication, sodomy, child molestations, and child abuse in their churches, they are wicked apostates and heretics. That is a fitting description of what happened at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, Howes Anderson College in Hammond, Indiana, and First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. I have nothing but contempt for them and am deeply ashamed that a movement that I am a part of has tolerated the perverted conduct of those devils, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. That sin also spread from First Baptist Church to other churches that were heavily influenced by First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and also Howes Anderson College, which is a part of that church. And that whole crowd has really, and their philosophies have poisoned a lot of independent Baptist churches. However, As wicked as all that is, it pales in comparison to the rampant child molestation perpetrated by Roman Catholic priests throughout the world. Folks, I hate what some leaders in some of our independent Baptist churches have done, and I hate what the Roman Catholic priests have done. None of them are above rebuke, judgment, and punishment. They are the vilest of the vile. One of the most vile things on the face of this earth is a religious child molester. What I have been talking about in the last few minutes is the face that the outside world sees when it looks at the church, and it is an ugly, contorted face. Its eyes are full of tombstones because there's death in the doctrinal pot. It is a two-faced church that is full of hypocrisy, that preaches and teaches one thing while its members live as if there is no holy God. Many of our churches are beautiful, pristine, whited sepulchres that are full of dead men's bones. Though spoken of the Pharisees, the following is a fitting description of most of today's churches. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Most churches today are embracing every false way on the broad way to destruction. There is death in the doctrinal pot. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible has this to say in Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Then we got Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That again is Psalm 119, verse 128. We are to hate that which God hates. It is much better to be in full fellowship with God than it is to be in guilt-ridden fellowship with heretics and apostates that promote false ways. So, what are we to do when we are faced with a situation where a brother, a sister, or a church becomes caught up in false doctrine? We must try to deliver those individuals out of the snare of the devil, as it is instructed to and given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, where we read the following. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Those that get caught up in false doctrine and heresy are opposing themselves. If they will not forsake their false doctrine after proper instruction, we are to reject them according to Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, which states the following. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. That is Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. What that means is that we are not to continue to fellowship with that individual that is an heretic. Here is where we find out where the real Christians are. I did not say perfect Christians. Will you separate from a church or an erring brother or sister based upon doctrine. First of all, our decision as to who we will fellowship with individually or other churches is not based upon the persons of men or a denominational affiliation, but is rather it is based entirely upon the doctrine and sin that a church or an individual will not repent of. Most Christians today ignore God's command to be separated from sin and false religious systems. The commandment for God's people to be separated goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 23, verses 31 through 33, where it is written thusly. Verse 31, "And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." That's Exodus chapter 23, verses 31 through 33. Now, the New Testament specifically addresses the issue of being separated from sin and false doctrine in at least 10 passages that include Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 through 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 1 Timothy 5, 22, 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, 2 John verses 10 and 11, and also Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. We're going to go and read you every one of those passages. I want you to understand that the Bible is very serious about us separating from false doctrine. Now, first, let's go to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, where we read this. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works, words, and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Next up, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." That's a very strong call for separation from sin and the wickedness of people that will not repent and forsake their sin. Next up, we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Folks, that is a very strong admonition there. We are not to fellowship with devils. And it says that we cannot mix fellowship with the Lord with fellowship with devils. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. And next up, we've got probably the longest passage in the New Testament dealing with the idea of separation. Starting in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Repeat that verse again. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, through chapter 7, verse 1. Next up, we have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's verse 11, and I'll reread that one again. And I have and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. That is a call to separate from darkness and to not be partakers in the sins that they have. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, along with verse Ephesians chapter 4, you take those two chapters together, and they are the longest passage in the New Testament dealing with the necessity of being holy, of living a holy life, of being separated from sin. Next up, we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The whole point of the separation is an attempt to restore them to doctrinal purity. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, we have this. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Then next up, we got 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Note again that it requires to us to be separated from the sin and from the individual until they repent. And if they don't repent, we must stay separated from them. Next up, we have 2 John verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And what that is telling you there is that you don't even want to encourage them in what they're doing. It is yet another call to be separated from folks that are involved in false doctrine and sin. Then finally we have Revelation chapter 18 verses 4 and 5. And I realize that this is a tribulation passage, but God has commanded that God's people be separated from the unbeliever and the person that will not repent for their sin all the way back into the Old Testament. Verse 4 of Revelation 18, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. That's Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. Now, here is the 2026 Living Apostate version of Romans chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. Mark them that cause divisions based upon doctrine and sin, and avoid them. For they that are such are legalists and Pharisees who want to put you back under the law. Of course, that is being sarcastic there, but seriously, we are to separate based upon doctrine and offenses. There is not a more apt description of today's apostates and heretics that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and are deceiving the hearts of the simple with their philosophic, self-serving, self-esteem heresies. Most so-called megachurches are built upon the business model promoted by the purpose-driven heresy of the Southern Baptist heretic, Rick Warren. Make no mistake about it, it is a business model and not a scriptural church that is built from this heresy. It is designed to take over fundamentalist churches and run the old fundamentalists off. The heretic and ex-Southern Baptist, Andy Stanley, is an unscriptural satanic pastor over seven churches that are making money hand over fist by deceiving the hearts of the simple. Andy Stanley is the son of Charles Stanley. Andy Stanley has said that we need to take our emphasis off of the Bible and put it on the resurrection. He has stated that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are myth. He does not believe that the walls of Jericho fell down. In August of 2016, this ex-Southern Baptist heretic, when speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, made the following statement. I would ask the pastors and student pastors in their communications to get the spotlight off of the Bible and back on the resurrection. Folks, that is heresy. Yet the apostate Southern Baptist invited this man to speak to them. The invitation was extended by Southern Baptist President Russell Moore, who is another apostate who does not support Israel. Birds of a feather flock together, and in this case, they are unclean and hateful birds. The following passage of Scripture throws out the judge not philosophy. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, where we read the following. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do ye not judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. There it is again, folks, the command to separate from those individuals. Now, this particular passage that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, deals with personal sin, and in it, the Holy Ghost commands that we are not to keep company or even eat with individuals who are in open sin. The Holy Ghost also commands that we put away from among ourselves that wicked person. Yet those who are in direct disobedience to the word of God demand that we judge not when the Holy Ghost has commanded that we judge those that are guilty of open sin. If you're not going to judge them, then God's going to judge you. That judgment is given to the church and not to individuals, folks. Anyone who holds doctrines contrary to the plain teaching of the Word of God is guilty of promoting doctrines of devils. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, the Holy Ghost had this to say about doctrinal devils. Verse 20, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. We are not to be in fellowship with devils because we become a partaker in their evil deeds. Most professing Christians today are partaking of the cup of Babylon, which is the cup of devils passed around amongst today's ungodly churches. It is interesting that this passage comes up in the context of the Lord's Supper. When I say this passage, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 through 21, and up in just a few verses down in that book of 1 Corinthians, we run into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we have the Lord's Supper to come up. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 20, has this to say, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, that is not to eat the Lord's Supper." For the ecumenical emerging church crowd, this passage destroys their whole concept that standing for doctrine causes divisions. In this passage, the Holy Ghost identifies heresies as being the source of divisions in this church at Corinth. Both the divisions and heresies are given in the context of a long list of reasons why a church should not be partaking of the Lord's Supper if it is guilty of heresies. Very strong rebuke, folks. That would disqualify most churches in America from participation in the Lord's Supper. Who am I to judge? Let the scriptures be the judge. If this ungodly, compromised crowd would forsake their heresies, there would be true Holy Ghost anointed unity in the body of Christ. What follows is probably the best passage in the New Testament on individual separation. We've already read this passage one time, and we're going to read it again. It bears repeating over and over and over, because repetition is the rock-solid foundation upon which memories, scriptural memories, might I say, are built. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that passage that I just read adds New Testament emphasis to the Old Testament question, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a question that gets asked in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. What we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, through chapter 7, verse 1, is a restatement of the oft-repeated Old Testament principle of God's people being separated from the heathen around them. That does not mean that Christians are to be hermits. What it means is that we are not to be friends with the world. James said this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's James chapter 4, verse 4. We see the Old Testament principle of separation in Exodus chapter 23, verses 31 through 33, Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17, Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 through 32, and 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 23. Now, we have already looked at Exodus chapter 23, verses 31 and 33, but let us take a look at Exodus chapter 34, verses 10 through 17. Starting in verse 10, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt not worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make no molten gods. Now there are numerous spiritual Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, and such like in so-called Christianity today. It is a mixed multitude that Satan uses to hinder individual Christians and churches of the living God. The whole point is that separation and holiness are commanded under the law and under grace. Let me repeat that. The whole point is that separation and holiness are commanded under the law and under the grace, under grace. And that period that we typically refer to as being under grace is the church age. God's children are to remain separated from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1 applies to every aspect of your life. It applies to your marriages, your friendships, your business relationships, and yes, even to your family relationships. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. The whole point of Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37 is not that we should forsake our families, but that the Lord Jesus Christ is to have preeminence in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be our first love. The next passage that we will look at is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. Starting in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruits of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. This is a powerful passage of Scripture, folks. Our apostate churches are full of Yehudis who have taken their penknives to the Word of God and cut out the parts that they do not want applied to them. Such is the character of the judge not Christians in this apostate generation who have swallowed the poison of unity in diversity. When the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience," what things is it talking about? It is talking about those sins and sinners identified in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, which states the following: "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says we are to break fellowship with those involved in those sins. The wicked works of verses 3 through 5 are said to be unfruitful works of darkness in verse 11 of that same chapter. We are not to be partakers in their sin. We are to reprove them. There is no unity in sin. Let me repeat that. There is no unity in sin. There is also no unity in doctrinal diversity. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we are to walk in the light of truth and not in the darkness of diversity. I repeat it again, there is no unity in doctrinal diversity. According to Ephesians 5:15, we are to walk circumspectly and not as fools. We have already spoken of the shame brought upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the secret things done at Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, by men professing to be Christians who fell into the snare of the devil. We have seen much shame come upon the Church of the Living God by the unfruitful works of darkness tolerated at those two institutions. The unfruitful works of darkness at those two institutions have produced many men whose sexual sins have brought much reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conduct of these men has blasphemed the name of God. As Christians, and especially Christian leaders, we must take steps to ensure that our conduct does not blaspheme the doctrine of God. There is also a charge and a warning specifically given to the older women from the Word of God also. We have the following warnings from the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, Romans chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, 1 Timothy 6, 1, and Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Starting in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Of course, that is the prophet Nathan rebuking David for his sin with Bathsheba. Now, we've got Romans chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Then we've got 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Folks, that is dealing with the attitude of the Christian in the workplace. We are to excel in the workplace. Next up, we have Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Now, God used Nathan to rebuke David because his conduct gave great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. In Romans 2, the Holy Ghost rebuked the very religious Jews because their hypocrisy had caused the name of God to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. If you will substitute the name Independent Baptist or Fundamental Bible Believing Christian for the name Jew in Romans 2 verse 17 and the word heathen for the word Gentile in Romans 2:24, an application can be made to the Independent Baptist movement and most other fundamentalist churches that have gone apostate. We are not saying to change the word of God here. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 is a charge to all Christians that they must be model workers in their places of employment so that the doctrine of God is not blasphemed. You folks are being watched. I am being watched and being held to a higher standard. And I realize that that is hypocritical on the part of those that do it, but we should not object to being held to a higher standard. After all, we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. We are now Christians, and our conduct ought to reflect that. Before I retired, I had an unsaved man come to me and complain about the work ethic of a guy who said he was a Christian. That is like a dagger to the heart of a Christian. The Bible's message is you need to be an exemplary employee with high standards of performance and behavior. And the problem in that particular situation is that man was unsaved, and a number of times that man had come to me and complained about that employee's behavior and lack of a good work ethic, and he used these words, and he's supposed to be a Christian. That ought to hurt your heart, folks, when you hear stuff like that, and it ought to give you the motivation to do your very best in the workplace. The Holy Ghost makes sure in Titus chapter 2 that the women also understand that their conduct must not cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And we have the issue today, folks, and have for many years now, of women who have children working outside of the home. And God says that when that happens, that the word of God is being blasphemed. And we have a lot of things going on in our society that Christians try to participate in that are sin, and that also blasphemes the word of God. Now, we're going to finish this particular subject in our next and final preparation in this series that we have titled The Importance of Sound Bible Doctrine. Thank you for joining us today.